Worship the Godlings? I refuse to use her phrasing. I've met a number of them, though, and some of them I even call a friend. Madding? Paitya? Nimer? Maybe. Keter, well, no, she didn't like me. Definitely not Lil. Shiny, yes. I had once called him friend, though the quiet goddess had been right. He would not say the same of me. I could almost hear John's face screwing up in consternation. But they're not human. She said it the way one would describe an insect or an animal. What does that matter? They're not like us. They can't understand us. They're dangerous. I leaned against the tub's edge and began to plait my wet hair. Have you ever talked to one of them? Of course not! She sounded horrified by the idea. I started to say more, then stopped. If she couldn't see gods as people, she barely saw me as a person, then nothing I could say would make a difference. That made me realize something, however. Does your Nipri feel the way you do about godlings? Is that why he dragged my friends into that empty place? Jaunt caught her breath. Your friends are godlings? At once her voice hardened. Then yes, that's why. And the Nipri won't be letting them out anytime soon. I fell silent, too revolted to think of anything to say. After a moment, Jaunt sighed. I didn't mean to upset you. Please, are you finished? We have a lot to do. I don't think I want to do anything you have in mind, I said, as coldly as I could. She touched my shoulder and said something that would keep me from ever seeing her as innocent again. You will. I got out of the tub and dried myself, shivering from more than the cold air. When I was dry and wrapped in a thick robe, she led me back to my room, where I dressed in the garments she'd brought, a simple pullover shirt and an ankle-length skirt that swirled nicely about my ankles. The undergarments were generic and loose, not a complete fit, but close enough. Shoes, too, soft slippers meant for indoor wear, a subtle reminder that my captors had no intention of letting me go outside. That's better, said Jaunt when I was done, sounding pleased. You look like one of us now. I touched the hem of the shirt. I take it these are white? Beige. We don't wear white. White is the color of false purity, misleading to those who would otherwise seek the light. There was a sing-song intonation to the way Jaunt said this that made me think she was reciting something. It was no teaching poem I'd ever heard, in Whitehall or elsewhere. On the heels of this, a heavy bell sounded somewhere in the house. Its resonant tone was beautiful. I closed my eyes in inadvertent pleasure. The dinner hour, Jaunt said. I got you ready just in time. Our leaders have asked you to dine with them this evening. Trepidation filled me. I don't suppose I could pass. I'm still a bit tired. Jaunt took my hand again. I'm sorry. It's not far. So I followed her through what felt like an endless maze of hallways. We passed other members of the New Lights. Jaunt greeted most of them, but did not pause to introduce me. But I paid little attention to them beyond realizing that the organization was much, much larger than I'd initially assumed. I noted a dozen people just in the corridor beyond my room. But instead of listening to them, I counted my paces as we walked, so that I could find my way faster if I ever managed to escape the room. We moved from a corridor that smelled like varskmusk incense to another that sounded as though it had open windows along its length, letting in the late evening air. Down two flights of stairs, 24 steps, around a corner, right, and across an open space, straight ahead, 30-degree angle from the corner. We came to a much larger enclosed space. Here, there were many people all around us, but most of the voices seemed to be below head level, seated, maybe. I had been smelling food for some time, mingled with the scents of lanterns and people and the omnipresent green of the tree. I guessed it was a huge dining hall. Jaunt. An older woman's contralto, soft and compelling. And there was a scent, like Harris blossoms, that also caught my attention because it reminded me of Madding's house. We stopped. I'll escort her from here. Erushov, will you come with me?
Lady Saruman! Jaunt sounded flustered and alarmed and excited all at once. Of course!
She let go of me, and another hand took mine. We've been expecting you, the woman said. There's a private dining room this way. I'll warn you if there are steps.
All right, I said, grateful. Jaunt had not done this, and I'd stubbed my toe twice already. As we walked, I pondered this new enigma. Lady Saruman, Jaunt had called her. Not a godling, certainly. Not among these godling haters. A noblewoman, then. Yet her name was Amun, one of those tongue-tangling combinations of consonants they so favored. The Amun had no nobility except... But no, that was impossible. We passed through a wide doorway into a smaller, quieter space, and suddenly I had new things to distract me, namely the scent of food. Roasted fowl, shellfish of some kind, greens and garlic, wine sauce, other scents that I could not identify. Rich people's food. When Saruman guided me to the table where this feast lay, I belatedly realized there were others already seated around it. I'd been so fascinated with the food that I'd barely noticed them. I sat among these strangers, before their luxurious feast, and tried not to show my nervousness. A servant came near and began preparing my plate. "Would you like duck, Lady Ori?" "Yes," I said politely, then registered the title. "But it's just Ori, not Lady anything."